Tonight, the sharing is going to be on dreams and sleep. And I got to do a little research, and it's fascinating. So who invented dreams?
Yeah.
Like, what are they? We don't know. There's these experiences you have, and you do some studies on sleep, and they're talked about who was more likely to have vivid dreams. They talk about young people, people under anesthesia, or a traumatic incident just happened to them, like an impact, car wreck. And then the people who really like to evaluate their dreams dream more. And they're starting explaining dreams. So people love dreams and stuff. They have a tendency to get more. It's almost like you're exercising. Something is being exercised in your subconscious. What are dreams? And they say, what exactly is happening? Don't know. But we do know the manifestations. It's kind of like Ruah. What is Ruah? We know the manifestations. We can't really understand it. But with dreams, we know the time in dreams. It said you could be sleeping for an hour and have a dream that went on for years, it would appear. And then you come back, and there's a really neat movie, Inception. It's about dreams and dream states. 1 hour here is a year there. And it was going into this. This world, what is it? And how realistic can dreams be? And there's stories of people waking up from bad dreams, and they have to be convinced you're not there. And you have to wake them up. Hey, no, you're right here. There was a dream of a football player who broke his femur like that. This bone right here. And with the hit, he went into extreme, excruciating pain where he passes out. He's no longer conscious. He goes to the hospital, and with the impact, it wasn't just the snapping of that, the femur. Other things happened. And he's in the hospital, induced coma, surgery after surgery after surgery. All these things happen. He's kind of in and out, lucid, but he has no recollection of it. I remember Dina had her leg amputated, went and saw her. She had no recollection either. After 2 weeks, he finally wakes up and hears some of his football buddies that were there the whole time. Mm-hmm. And the guy who was asleep starts explaining to them, we won the football game. And I went, and then we won the national championship. We advanced. We got selected and we won the national championship game. And the football players are there going, we lost that game and we went to a different bowl game and we didn't do very well. And they had to convince the football player that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But it was so real to him. He was confused because his dreams were so real. And finally, they go, you didn't go anywhere, man. You didn't go to Michigan. You're right here. You've been here for 2 weeks. We've been here for 2 weeks. But here's these dreams. My brother Israel went to have his shoulder operated on. During the operation, he dreamed they amputated his legs. He wakes up. Ah! They freak out. They jump on him, hold him back down. And he was convinced the doctors amputated his leg, so he started fighting the doctor. Not a good time to use your shoulder, but he was convinced. What exactly happened? We don't necessarily know, but we know dreams can be very, very powerful, very convincing. There's an element of time that's in there that we can't understand. How powerful are dreams? How convincing. How about Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar? What kind of dream did that guy have?
Yeah.
He's going to kill everybody, all the wise men. You either interpret this or I'm killing you. Is that a big decision? Is that a convinced? Now, Yahweh gave that dream. Now, let's think about another dream. How about Pharaoh? Pharaoh with Joseph. Mm-hmm. How serious was that? It was very serious. And what happened in that dream? Well, those dreams are going to be divine dreams. But you can see how convincing is it. Now, the purpose about talking about sleep and dreams is, I guess even before I go to the next thing, is the question, I read something today, and the question was, do you know more about death than Yahweh does?
No.
That's what we should ask people. Do you know more about death than Yahweh? Well, what do you mean? He teaches us about death. Mm-hmm. And what he does is when somebody's going to teach you about death, you go, what are your credentials? If somebody's going to teach me about Mendoza, Argentina, how much time have you spent there? I've never been there. I want somebody that's actually been there or lived there. Or somebody's going to teach you about Paris, France, been there. But if somebody's talking about death, they allegedly have been there. I'm going to say, Yahweh uses sleep, something that we understand and we can evaluate to teach us about death. And so tonight what we're going to be doing is exercises with the word sleep, fell asleep, slept with his fathers, and dead. Because today, most of the time when people say dead, it means something completely different than what the scriptures say. Dead just means a portal to go someplace else. They're not there, they're there. And so what do we know about sleep before we go into it? Somebody is sleeping, they're sleeping, and they're dreaming that they're in Europe. Where are they? They're right there. Sometimes somebody's sleeping and they're not dreaming at all. They're still right there. Sleep is what we call static. You're not going anywhere. And Yahweh's going to call the dead sleep, 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 sleep. And what he does, can you talk to a 5-year-old about sleep? Can they understand? Yeah. Do they need an explanation about death?
Yes.
What if their abuela dies? What if their dog dies? And we can tell people what they want to hear, like Satan did Eve, or we can tell them the only one that knows about death, Yahweh. Here's what the scripture says. First Thessalonians 13 and 18, there's a whole chapter for people that are going through death. You'd say, read verse 13 and then read verse 18 and get back to me. Because it starts off, brethren, I don't want you being ignorant. And anytime you read sleep, put dead. For those who are dead, it's sleep. It's good. I don't know if you'd say it's synonymous, but we're going to go through exercises where Yahweh puts sleep, and all you do is put the word dead in there, and it means the same thing. Mm-hmm. Don't be ignorant for those who have fallen asleep, and Yahweh can specifically say sleep. Why? What do we know about sleep? Yes. My dad did a lesson on sleep, and then here's Strooms writing about sleep. What do you guys know about sleep?
It's restful.
It could be rest.
You wake up.
The biggest thing is it's temporary.
Yeah.
Temporary. It will be interrupted with an awakening. If you call me and say, I need to talk to Vera, she's asleep, what do you know? She's just not available right now. But will she be?
Yeah,
she's asleep. You could say, when? Mm-hmm. I could call and say, I need to talk to Rachel. She's asleep. Oh, I really like to talk to her. Well, you can't. She's asleep. Well, when will she be awake? I don't know. Okay, maybe I'll try tomorrow. So what is that? Sleep is...
temporary.
Hope.
Oh.
It's hope. They're gone right now. And then after they read, I don't want you to be ignorant about the dead or the sleeping. And the last verse says, comfort everybody with this. Mm-hmm. And then they'll come back to you and go, what did I just read? You read the sandwich, now go read the middle. And Yahweh teaches that the dead are going to get, they are going to get up in a moment. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, in the twinkling of an eye. And when is it going to happen? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. When is Christ coming back? When are we going to hear the trumpet? We don't know. People could wake up any moment. And that's hope. Sleep is hope. And the hope of what? An awakening. And when is there going to be an awakening? When the King returns. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's talking to people. What's he talking about? I can't talk to you about spiritual things. I can't talk about plain things. I got to talk to you in parables. Oh, man. Okay. I go prepare a place for you, but what? I'm coming back. And the people who are sleeping, we shouldn't mourn. They're asleep. They're asleep. What does it mean? How about evil people? They're asleep.
Yeah.
No. Stalin swore he's not going to get up. I'm never getting up. An atheist, anti-theist, I'm not getting up. Have you ever seen a teenager that doesn't want to wake up and dad comes home? What'd you say to your mom? I said, you're going to wake up. And it's going to be rude for some. The other is going to be, I've been waiting for this all my life. And think about a child that's waiting for his first day of school, waking up. Yes! Or your wedding day, or the day that your child's going to be born, an awakening. And so, if you turn to the first page, Yahweh teaches us about death with something we know, sleep. And so, when somebody says, absent from the body, present from the Lord, you should say, which death are you talking about? Who died? What's the context of absent? It's not talking about somebody dead. We're going to look at context, people dead. And Yahweh has a word for bodies. He has a word for body. Because when they took Jesus Christ's body, he said, go get his body. There's a word for that. And also in the book of Exodus, they talk about the body of a dead or the body of the animal. There's a word body. And then when we talk about sleep, there is no sleeping of the body. It's not in there. So what people try to do with these scriptures, they say the body's sleeping, but they're someplace else. The scripture says none of that. It says they are asleep. But if you look at the first one that I could find about somebody who died, somebody needs to read the first example, 1 Kings chapter 2:10.
And then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David.
You can turn to Acts 2:32-34. Everybody doesn't have to go. And we'll also look at, so listen, here's King David back in the Hebrew Scriptures. And it's 1:21 in the Rotherham. And here's Peter. Well, that was back then. Okay, well, let's go to Peter. In the book of Acts chapter 2, the day of Festival of Weeks. Verse 32. This same Yehoshua, whom Yahweh raised up, or Agaro, woke up. Wherefore, all you are witnessed by the right hand of Yahweh, therefore having been exalted, also the promise of the Ruach Kadesh, having received from the Father, he hath poured out this which yourselves do see and hear. For David hath not ascended into the heavens. It does not say his body. It says, David is not ascended to the heavens, but he himself saith the Lord unto my Lord. And then it's also going to say, his tomb is right here, guys. I'm trying to remember where it said that. Mm-hmm. Oh, verse 29. Brethren, it is allowable to say with freedom of speech, 29 chapter 2, concerning the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is among us this day. Okay, there's his tomb. Turn to chapter 13. I don't have the verse. So give me a second. Well, I thought I wrote down chapter 13 one. Well, I'll have to come back for that one. Somewhere in chapter 13, maybe it's 11.
Well, there's 13:30, but Yahweh raised him from among the dead?
No, there's another scripture that says David is asleep. We'll have to come back. If you Google or do a word search, David and sleep, it's going to say David's sleeping right now.
It's 36.
Is it 36? 1336?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, would somebody read that? 1336.
The dead, indeed, unto his own generation, having done service by the counsel of Yahweh, fell asleep and was added unto his fathers and saw corruption.
So he fell asleep. He's not in heaven. His tomb's right here. And Yahweh could have put he's dead. He doesn't. And you could put, and David's dead. Or David died. Does it make sense? It means the same thing. But Yahweh doesn't. He's teaching us about death. A very important thing. And what is the last enemy to be destroyed?
Death.
So Yahweh takes death very serious. Adam and Eve brought it in because they didn't believe him. The adversary, you're not going to die. Actually, when you die, you're going to know everything. Your eyes will be opened. You'll understand everything. You'll have wonderful stories and things. And that's what the adversary said. But if we go back to the paper, Acts chapter 7. And I think this is the best one to look at. So David's dead. There's his tomb. He's asleep. And then Stephen, when he is stoned, he looks up, verse 56. I'll start there. And he said in 56, "Lo, I see the heavens open, and I see the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit." No, I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And verse 60, "And kneeling down, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge against him this sin. And having said this, he died." But it doesn't say he died. He fell asleep. He fell asleep. And then you can read, so if somebody wants to learn about death, and they're going to teach you about death, they go, "Do we know more about death than Yahweh does?" And then you can look. Yahweh says death is sleep. And so we'll just go through here. David slept with his fathers. That's the first one. The second one is another in 1 Kings 11. David slept with his fathers. 1 Kings 11:43. Solomon slept with his fathers. And I'll just read the underlined part. 1 Kings 14:20, he slept with his fathers. 1 Kings 14:31, Rehoboam slept with his fathers. 1 Kings, Abijah slept with his fathers. 1 Kings 15:24, Asa slept with his fathers. Baashan, Omri, Ahab, or Achab, Joseph, Joram, Jehu, Jehoahaz, Joash, Jeroboam, Azariah, Menahem, Jotham, Asa, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Jehoiakim, Solomon, Solomon, Rehoboam, all these. So Abijah slept with his fathers, Asa slept with his fathers, Jehoshaphat, and the king, Second Chronicles, it just says the king slept with his fathers, and Uzziah slept with his fathers. Second Chronicles 27, Jotham slept with his fathers. 28, Asa slept with his fathers. Second Chronicles 32, 33, Hezekiah slept with his fathers. Second Chronicles 20, Manasseh slept with his fathers. And we can go, a good way to look at this is let's imagine this is literal to understand figurative. What would it mean if Hezekiah is sleeping? He's not doing anything. He is out of commission. And here's all these leaders where we talk about specific deaths. Yahweh goes into it. He said they are sleeping with their fathers. And if somebody said Aaron's sleeping with his wife and his mom and dad, what's going on? Well, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, you can't talk to them right now. But you could. When they wake up. Mm-hmm. And you can go through all those scriptures and replace to teach somebody. This teaching is not really, we already understand these things, but this is a way to possibly helping somebody who's deceived. And you look at the scriptures and say, all you do is you go into Jotham died like his fathers, with all of them. Ahaz died like all of his fathers. So when we want to understand present day death, all we have to do is put the word sleep. And a kid wants to understand sleep. Why do you say sleep? Well, that's how Yahweh explains it. What do we know about sleep? Think about it. Anybody in here laid down for 8 hours but didn't sleep?
Yes.
Were you rested?
No.
Have you ever done that? You've been in bed for 10 hours trying to sleep, but you didn't sleep?
Yeah.
It's not voluntary. And if you don't, something doesn't happen up here, you're exhausted, you're toast. What exactly is that? You need that, there's a certain kind of rest that we can't explain that we have to have. And we talk to kids or whoever going to go, they fall asleep. Well, that's kind of depressing. Yahweh told, and then when somebody wants to go about death or something, you go, what did Yahweh teach Adam and Eve? Because they're the prototype. They're going to teach everybody everything. Dust you are, dust you'll be. Well, that's depressing. I want my grandmother to be in heaven right now. You want the truth sets you free. Well, what did Adam and Eve do at Cain's funeral? He's in a better place. No, he's dust. Can you imagine when Abel's dead, if there were other, Cain and Abel had kids. So it appears that they already had kids because they procreated. And so that, so when he was murdered, the, I don't know how old they were. But you can imagine if there were grandkids around going, you mean my uncle or my dad is dust? That's it? He's right there? You mean in 20 years he'll still be right there? And what Adam and Eve said? Yeah. Well, that stinks. And then they would say, but the seed of the woman is coming. And by the way, grandchild, let's just say I'm Adam and she's Eva, Eve, we used to be dust too. We were dust before Yahweh breathed in the Neshma life and we became a living nefesh. So where were we before he breathed into us? We were dirt and he breathed into us, but the seed of the woman is coming. We were dust, we go back to dust, but we sleep until there's an awakening. If you turn to, if they could turn to John 11:11, or you can look at the paper. And how did Yehoshua teach us about sleep? On the handout, if somebody would read that for me.
These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Continue. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Albeit Yahushua spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking rest in sleep, taking of rest. Then said Yahushua unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead.
So I used to think that he was frustrated that he had to explain that. But he was pretty smart. I don't think Yahushua, our Lord, was shocked as much as I thought he was shocked. This guy's genius. And he could have specifically said sleep to confuse him. What are you talking about? But if you go back to the same thing, what does he mean by sleep? Put in death. These things said he, and after he said unto our friend Lazarus that he's dead. Okay, we know exactly. Death, sleep. And so you can replace death or is dead with sleeping or slept. And why do I say that? Because that's what Yahweh does. And we live with Lazarus, with Stephen, King David, all of his heroes. And he will even tell them you're going to rest with your... When you rest with your fathers, rest, sleep. And what do we know about sleep? And you start looking at it and go, okay, death and sleep. That's real... if you look down... when we're trying to teach somebody... that has been Hellenized with the Greeks believe. Greeks believe nobody ever dies. You just go from this body to that body, whatever. Hindus, same thing. You just reincarnate or this or that. No, there is no death. And you look at most pagan religions, there's no death. It just means this act is over, you go someplace else. But Christians, followers of Yahweh, and I just say Christians, are taught, Yahweh says, they're waiting. They're all waiting. For what? Okay. An awakening. What is the awakening? The return of the King. He's coming back. And I love thinking that out. It wasn't until I was explaining this to a 5-year-old kid. And we're reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he read this and he went, you mean if I die, I'm going to turn into dirt? Yeah? Yeah, that's what it means. How's he going to put me together? And while I'm having this talk with him, all of a sudden I went, well, that's what Yahweh did in the first place with Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. I was at a teaching at New Life Covenant. He was talking about one of the first things Yahweh did after he met him, he breathed into him. And that's why we're supposed to speak the word, speak life, speak positive scriptures, speak victory. Yahweh breathed into and the breathing into them. But I got an imagination of him plugging his nose like this and went, whew. Imagine Christ doing that to all of us at a resurrection. Breathing into everybody's nose, and, wake up! Yes! The dead in Christ go first, then we're going to follow them. And after explaining that to a 5-year-old, I never thought of this, because my grandfather was a Catholic, and he believed you have to have your whole body. I got to have everything. I can't donate my body to science or to somebody. I have to have it. How can he put it back together? It goes back to Adam and Eve. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 5. This is what Yahweh says about the dead. And if we see the word dead, we could put, what could we put in there that's synonymous? The sleeping?
Mm-hmm.
So you could read it and say, okay, through this exercise, you could put the sleeping. 9 verse 5. Can somebody read that?
Where is it?
For the living knew that they would die, but the dead knew not anything. Neither had they any longer reward, because forgotten was their memory.
And so right here in Ecclesiastes 9, 5, Yahweh, the only one that knows the future, is going to say the dead know nothing. And we can put in there, the sleeping know nothing. What does somebody in a coma know? Now, they could be dreaming. They could be experiencing things. And when they wake up, I'm not going to say you didn't experience something. Right? But I'm going to say, but you've been right here. You've been right here. So you could have dreams, communications, or whatnot. But the dead know nothing. But what did the serpent say in Genesis 3, 4? It's on the handout right underneath it. If somebody will read that.
And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not die. For Elohim doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then shall your eyes be opened, and you shall be like Elohim, knowing good and evil.
And so when people start talking to us, talking about people dying, and all of a sudden now their mind is opened up, and now clarity is here, what should that do for us? That reminds me of Eve not wanting to believe in death and believing that it was actually a portal to becoming like a god. And you think about somebody that went to heaven. They come back with all this information. Wow! Look at all these things they know. Yahweh says the dead know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this? And that's where dreams come in. And if we look at death like dreams, I'm not going to say it's dreams, but if we look at somebody that died and went someplace, and they come back and they go, I saw this, I saw that, I saw this. If we replace the dead with sleeping, would it be easier to understand? Yeah. Well, for the most part, Christians are used to hearing about Christians going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who else goes to have experiences after death? It's not just Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's, you Google it, non-Christians.
Yahweh's creation.
No, so Christians are, because it verifies what they want to believe, they come back, this is what heaven's like, and this is what that is like. We go back to the scriptures. Yahweh goes, hey, Lazarus, he didn't tell us what anything was like. Christ said he was dead. Christ said he was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And Ecclesiastes said he doesn't know anything. And King David said, I can praise you when I'm alive, but the dead don't praise you. And so the Psalms, all these things, and if you look at, remember the word, the number six. Six is for man. In Psalm 6, it's going to say, the dead, it's very depressing without a resurrection. But if somebody has a near life or death experience, and then they, let's just say they died, and then you hear a story that they went here or they went there and they saw this, if we went back and we looked at it, go, let's replace the word died with slept. Now, if somebody was in a coma and they came back with these things, would it explain things? So here would be the first illustration of a Muslim. And so here's I put one on here of a Muslim. If this is good for Christians, because Christians are going to say Muslims don't go to heaven, right? This is going to be for babes. No, there's only one way to the salvation. It's through Jesus Christ alone, right? Right. Google Muslims, death after life experiences. There's YouTube videos of men meeting Allah. I met Allah. Talked to Allah. And the doctors verified his heart stopped and he came back. And hey, certified, doctor said I died, came back. I talked to Allah. It's on YouTube. It's not just that. We look at one of these Muslim men, and somebody would read what happened with this. I'll read the underlined if somebody would read the quotes on it. There's a Muslim man dies after being hit by a car. He's brought back to life after CPR. And here's his experience. If somebody would read that.
I died and saw all the dogs I had ever known and my grandma who I'd never met before.
What's the problem?
Problem?
Okay, so if he did die, he's asleep, okay? And then, especially with Christians, he is, okay? But if we replace died with the word sleep, now reread it with the word slept. I slept and saw all the dogs ever known and my grandmother, who I had not met before. Did they experience something in their head? Yeah. Okay. You've convinced me. But you didn't go see, and so here was this guy who was convinced. I saw every dog that ever owned, this Muslim loves his dogs, and came back with his experience, and this validates. Allah is it. I'm a Muslim. I got to see it. It was paradise, and I came back. The one underneath is an anti-theist, so she's an atheist, and it was really convincing. So here's an anti-theist, and then we'll do the illustration. We're going to read, I died, and just put back, I slept. But here's an anti-theist. She dies on the operating table. She hovers, and so here's her whole testimony. She hovers above her body. She sees the doctors operating on her. And she also sees her dead on the table. And she starts going through a testimony. She goes, my parents were Christians, and I was taught, I go to heaven or I go to hell. And here I am, I'm not. And then she goes a little bit higher, and she starts seeing the universe and understanding things. And then something starts communicating to her that world is a dream. This world is reality. And she comes back with this testimony. And then you go into it, the doctors certify her heart stopped, and she came back. What is that? But if we could look at it and say, but if she fell into a sleep, or if we replace it with sleep, because she had dreams or something like that? Well, if Yahweh calls death sleep, then it could be a good explanation for some of these experiences. Especially when somebody has really realistic dreams, you say, okay, the best illustration you can have is possibly, it's saying dreams. Because if somebody's experiences contradict Yahweh's word, it doesn't mean somebody didn't have an experience, but we got to say it can't mean what you mean. A Muslim coming back, you just talk to Allah. And then I googled, as a quick reference, the non-Christian's life after death experiences, and it comes back Gemini. Almost all religions believe that when you die, you go someplace. It said Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, Christians, and they believe you die, and some of them get to come back and they get to tell us about this other life. What should that be? A red flag. But it should also be, as like a scientist going, what exactly is this phenomenon? And for the best, my best idea would be, if it was sleep, then we'd have to explain it. On the next page, you got Luke 22:45. And so then we'll just look at a couple of illustrations with falling asleep. And you can put asleep, slept. And we look at it. And so when people are trying to hold on to something they really want to believe, you go, do you want to believe that? And that's fine. You want to believe it. But if you want to understand death, he'll teach us. And if somebody starts teaching you death does not mean sleep, it means this. And you go, okay. So when Samson slept on Delilah's lap, where did he go? He didn't go anywhere. He slept right there. She shaved his head. When Jacob put a rock under his head and he slept, what happened there? Oh, that's sleep. Okay, he didn't go. How about Abraham? He sleeps to see these things. He goes, okay, so Yahweh doesn't teach us to say something is good by comparing it to something that's evil. He compared it's sweet like honey, and death is sleep. Sleeping is not to be awake. It doesn't mean you've gone someplace and you're very, very active. It doesn't mean you know everything. It means you're asleep. You're stuck right there. Luke 22:45, and arising from prayer, he came unto his disciples and found them what? Falling asleep. And so we get a mind picture. What are they? They're not doing anything. They're inanimate. And then 1 Corinthians 11:30, for this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not few are what? Falling asleep. Why did Yahweh call it that? He could have said dead. He could have said you're going to a better place. He could have said, but he doesn't. He says they're asleep. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we already read, but we do not wish you ignorant But we now wish you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are falling asleep. So, I guess the kind of 2 Timothy 4, 3-4 would be page 219. As we're examining, and so if somebody's going to teach us, we could disagree, we could things. It's just because somebody says something doesn't mean you're going to have to believe it. You don't have to say, I'm just going to believe it. No, examine it. This is taking things to the professor. So when I was little, I'd get into an argument with my brother or a neighbor, you know what I would do? I'd go check with mom and dad. They knew everything, right? And so if we want to know, that's how we go to the scriptures and say, what exactly do the scriptures say? But 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 through 4, if somebody would read that.
And from the truth indeed.
Chapter 4, yeah. Verse 3 through 4.
Oh, you're 2 Timothy
yeah.
Chapter 4, verse 4.
Verse 3.
For there will be a season when the healthful teachings they will not endure, but according to their own covetings will unto themselves heap up teachers because they have an itching ear. And from the truth, indeed, their ear will they turn away, while unto stories so they will turn themselves aside.
So, unto stories. And so we've been warned. And also in 2 Corinthians 11, it goes, you can see a beautiful messenger, and Satan looks like an angel of light.
But
Yahweh, through the Apostle Paul's warning, and to go, be leery of stories that really appeal to you. Bring your stories and your testimonies to the scriptures. When a kid comes back with heaven's for real, like a prophet, and he starts bringing back things that aren't in the scriptures, wait a minute. Here's the age of everybody. Aborted babies go straight to there because here's all this new information. New information is what a prophet has. Well, he had an experience. Yeah, but so do Muslims. So do Hindus. And what happened, we don't necessarily know. But it cannot contradict. Stephen fell asleep. David is asleep. And this could be good exercise for even unbelievers, that sometimes people are going to say things to make people feel comfortable. But if a person who rejects Jesus Christ is not going to bow down to him, he dies, and people start talking about him, well, he's in a better place now. Is he? No. And we could be like, if you really want to know where that person is and his future, I'll tell you. And I can go with you, and you could help somebody say that person's asleep right now. Well, I believe he's in heaven. Well, okay, if you want to know the truth, I'll show you. And we could open up doors and sow seeds. And well, I really like to believe this. I understand that sin usually appeals to certain things, and that's why we want to believe it. Confirmation bias. But if you want to know, we go to the scriptures. Let me see. So, I guess to understand death, Yahweh teaches us through sleep. And so, to study sleep will help us understand death more. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for everybody that's here. And I thank you for working through me so that I can get out of the way and speak your words. Know, my children, that I have wonderful things for each one of you. And even if nobody believes you, I care that you are pursuing me. Even if you don't have anybody to witness to, I see you. And I want you to take more care with your lives, because you can go witness to the trees, witness to the grass, speak to the stars, and I want you to know that I'm there. And how beautiful is it if you saw a 4 or 5 year old child witnessing about the resurrection, if you could hear that. Now imagine my own ears. So learn these things and hold to the truth. Speak to yourself day and night. For there is an end that is coming, and I will reward you for all the things that you do for me.